Well, praise the Lord. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to what book of the Bible? 1 John. Amen. Boy, y'all learning. 1 John chapter number 5. And we're going to read one verse, and that is the verse 20. And this is our 24th sermon in this book, and we just got, after this one, just one left, obviously, and it's been a blessing for me to study it. I've been challenged, I've been convicted, and most of all, I've been helped. And I pray that's the same feeling that you have, that the Lord has given you, a great challenge and a great help to your life through this wonderful epistle of 1 John. Let's stand together as we read this one verse in honor of the inerrant, infallible Word of God, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the preaching of His Word. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why does not my lost family member or my lost friend or neighbor, when I talk to them about the things of God, why do not they understand the gospel of Christ? You explain it to them in words that they can comprehend, but they just don't get it. Well, I think all of us at some point have asked that question. We think to ourselves, I understood it. I know that Jesus Christ has come to pay the price of sin. I know that He is the Son of God. I know that He is my Savior. Why can't people understand this? I'll never forget when I started preaching as a 17-year-old boy. I thought I was going to win the world for Christ. I also thought when I preached the good news about Jesus that everyone who heard it would be converted and would believe. But I have discovered that I won't, and they haven't. I have not won the world to Christ, and not everybody who I preach to is converted. I never forget when I began to pastor the first church I ever pastored in Enola. I thought I was going to win the whole town for Christ. I thought this church where it was located was going to be too small. It wasn't going to be long before we're going to have to add on. I preached there for nearly 2 years without one single convert. I thought I was the biggest failure there was. I thought, you know, no one was saved maybe because I didn't say the right words during the invitation. You know, like those big preachers do, they would have everybody bow their head and close their eyes and raise their hand. Maybe I just needed to do that. But that wouldn't have been right. But I discovered that there are just those who will respond to the gospel message, and there are those who are just not going to respond to the gospel message. Now the question is, have you ever wondered why that is? I think you would agree with me that the message that I preach and the message that you have believed and the message that you share is the greatest news in all the world. It is the good news that though we are sinners and though we are dead in trespasses and sin, God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son Jesus to die for our sins. He rose again according to the Scriptures on the third day, and that if people will turn and repent from their sin and by faith trust Him, they can believe. And that's the best news the world has ever heard, the good news of the gospel. But why is it then, when we share this kind of a message, there are some who receive it, and they are saved, they are born again, and others, so far as we know, do not receive it and are not saved? Well, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, and as He's talking about this thing of our understanding. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching a great number of parables, and He speaks upon one of the parables of the sower. And He says that the one that hears the word and understands it not is not saved. Now, it doesn't mean that the person didn't comprehend what was being said. That person just does not understand really the spiritual things. And if he does not understand that, he's not going to be saved. Then listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23. Jesus says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it." And understands it. That person is born again. So let's consider this thought this morning of understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel. We're going to answer some questions. Number one, we're going to answer this thing of why the world does not understand. Why do the saints, why do the saved understand the gospel? And then who gives us this understanding? Who gives us this understanding? Well, notice number one, the world and their lack of understanding. The world and their lack of understanding. The trouble with the world, apart from the Holy Spirit, is that, as Paul puts it in his writings to the Ephesians, that non-Christians are living in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Having their understanding darkened, Ephesians chapter 4. You see, there is kind of a blinder that comes down on the unbeliever's mind. And as we have seen, we use this verse quite often in this series of messages of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "To whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds to them which believe not." And so the tragedy of those who are not Christians is that they are not only blinded by sin, but sadly and tragically, they are dead in trespasses and in sins. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 tells us that. And of course this means spiritually dead. That is, he is unable to understand. The lost person is unable to understand. He is unable to appreciate spiritual things. The lost person possesses no spiritual life. And he can do nothing of himself to please God. And just as a person physically dead, just as a person is physically dead, does not respond to physical stimuli, so a person spiritually dead is unable to respond to spiritual things. Hey, listen, a corpse does not hear the conversation going on at the funeral home. He has no appetite for food. He has no appetite for drink. He feels no pain. Why? Because he's dead. And just so with the inner man of the unsaved person. His spiritual faculties are not functioning. And they cannot function until God gives him life. Understand with me this morning that the unbeliever is not sick. He's dead. The unbeliever does not need resuscitation. The unbeliever needs resurrection. And so because he's blind and because the sinner is blind and dead, the sinner is unaware of the fact of sin. And that, according to the Bible, is the real tragedy of mankind when it is not in relationship to God. It goes through life in this world and persuades itself that all is well, that it is happy, that not realizing, though, the terrible doom that awaits it. What is it? It lacks an understanding. It does not know. Now, surely we must all recognize the importance of this. Let me put it to you this way. Are you surprised at the state of the world or society? Does it come to you sometimes with astonishment that the world is as it is, in a mess, in turmoil, but yet so many men and women are carefree? They seemingly just don't care. It's amazing to think of having all the recent wars that we've had the last 50 years alone. Sin of all kinds of unimaginable things. And all the continuing uncertainty in the world, and yet our newspapers and our media just fills only the news with such trivial things. Does it not seem incredible? How do you explain that in the face of many tragic possibilities, the world can laugh, the world can joke, the world can enjoy themselves and be apparently carefree? What is the explanation? Well, there's only one explanation. It is that the world's understanding is darkened. It does not see what is happening. It is not aware of the tragedy. And this is only possible because the minds of men and women are blinded. And that is precisely what the Bible says about them. Listen, the trouble with people in this world is that they are absolutely fooled by Satan. Satan persuades them. Satan tells them, hey, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. What is the use of worrying about all the possibilities of these tragic events? All the worry in the world will not affect it. It will come soon enough without going to meet it. So have a good time, he says. Turn your back upon it. But you see, this is the philosophy of the devil that the world absolutely believes. That is a tragic condition, and nothing will awaken men and women out of this slumber but this enlightenment that comes only by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to what Paul said. But the natural man, the unconverted man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. And then Paul says, neither can he know them, neither can he understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, my dear friend, listen to me. The world thinks the cross is foolishness. The world thinks going to church and worshiping the Lord in the church is a colossal waste of time. The world thinks that the Christian is the one that's causing the real trouble in our society. Why do they believe that? Because they don't have the understanding or the knowledge that believers have. Think about Noah and his family, and the ark, as they are in the ark. And of course, the rest of the world outside of the ark. That is God's people and those who are not God's people. What made the difference? What made the difference in that day and during that world event? My dear friend, the world did not understand what Noah was talking about. The world at that time, those people thought that Noah and this thing of judgment was a bunch of foolishness. And you see, the great characteristic of the people of God is that we know certain things. We know. That is, we are able to discern between the truth and lies. We are able to discern between light and darkness. Why? Because we have been given this understanding. Think about the great chapter, Hebrews chapter number 11, concerning the heroes of the faith. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it? Or why was it that those men and women behaved as they did? What made Abraham leave his country and go out, not knowing where he was going? What was it that made Moses, who had the prospect of being adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, with a wonderful career before him in the courts of Egypt, what made him reject it all and become a mere shepherd and endure that adversity that he experienced for so long? What was the secret of all those people? Well, according to the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, it was just that they knew certain things. They had their eye, as verse 26 tells us of Hebrews 11, they had their eye on the recompense of reward. That is, they had a particular view of this world and of life in this world, and therefore they preferred, as Hebrews 11 tells us, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, they had an understanding. They knew certain things. Why are you saved? Why are you born again? My dear friend, the only reason you are saved is because the Lord has given you an understanding that He has not given to those who are not saved. You see, the word us in verse 20 is very, very important. It distinguishes those who are of God from those who are not in verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You see, John's us is not speaking of all those in the world who can believe. The us that John is speaking is those who will believe. He has given us an understanding. The us is those who have been given divine understanding. And sadly, the world does not know anything about this divine understanding. To them, it is foolishness. You see, that understanding means the mind, the depth of the mind, that rational part of our being that enables us to grasp hold of truth. And my dear friend, only the Holy Spirit can give us that understanding. You see, we see the world and their lack of understanding. Notice secondly, here's the final thought. I'm keeping you short today. The final thought, here it is. The saints and the Lord who gives them understanding. The saints and the Lord who gives them understanding. You say, or Brother Way, listen, I believe. And I'm saved because I just had a great knowledge of the Scripture. I was raised in church and I just heard so much. And because of that knowledge, I got saved. Well, my dear friend, just hearing and just comprehending what you heard does not equate to salvation. It must go much deeper than that. You see, our understanding is not based on human reasoning. Our understanding is not based on human reasoning. No, when the unregenerate human mind is brought to bear upon divine truth, it comes up with error every time. Think about the most brilliant of minds today, the great scientists. A majority of them are brilliant, but a vast majority of them are atheists. Salvation does not come by human reasoning. No, listen, our understanding is based on divine inspiration and divine illumination. Think about when Simon Peter gave his great statement concerning the Son of God. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus immediately said to Simon, he said, "Blessed be thou, Simon." He said, "For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has." He's saying, Simon, you have not come up with this on your own. You have been given this knowledge. You have been given this divine illumination. But my dear friend, you find that everywhere in Scripture. Take, for instance, the account of the Apostle Paul preaching for the first time in Europe. Is it not interesting to observe what we are told about the first convert to Christianity? She was a woman named Lydia, living in a place called Philippi. The Apostle Paul went there to preach the gospel. She and others listened to him. She believed the things that were told her. She came to see that you must believe and you must accept the gospel and give yourself to it. And because of that, her life was absolutely transformed by it. But the Scripture says that it happened only because the Lord opened her heart that she might believe. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14 tells us that. She believed only because the Lord opened her heart. And if the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, had not opened her heart, she would have never believed. For what the Holy Spirit does is to enlighten our spiritual faculty. He awakens certain things that are dormant in us and makes us and causes us to understand. Think about a man by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was a man who was a master in Israel, a teacher of the people. Here was a man of great reputation, a man of great learning, a man who was an expert in the Old Testament, and he was a teacher of those matters. But having looked at Jesus Christ and having watched him, having seen Jesus' miracles, he felt that there was someone who he could not understand. Someone who had a power greater than he or any other teacher in Israel. And so he went to him at night and sought an interview with the Lord Jesus. And Nicodemus said to Jesus, he said, "Master, you must be a teacher sent from God. For no man can do the things that you do except God be with you." And immediately our Lord interrupted Nicodemus and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And poor Nicodemus began to disagree. But our Lord Jesus replied again, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God." Now what does that mean? It means this, that Nicodemus was trying to understand these things with just human reasoning. And our Lord said to him, in effect, "Dear man, you cannot understand them. Nicodemus, you are a master in Israel, but you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You have to have this enlightenment that the Holy Ghost alone can give. And listen, you cannot advance from Judaism to Christianity. You must be born again. Nicodemus, you need a new faculty. And the Holy Ghost alone can give it to you." That's when Jesus said this to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it listeth," where it wants to. "And thou heareth the wind thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." You must have this gift of God, and then only will you understand these things. It is only as we receive the gift of the Spirit that we shall understand, because without that, we remain in spiritual darkness. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and we need to be quickened. We need to be enlightened in power and understanding, and then alone, we have true spiritual knowledge, true spiritual understanding. Oh, I pray that we would learn this. Oh, I pray that we would learn this in our witnessing. So many times we say, "Oh, Lord, I want to witness to so-and-so. Lord, just give me the words to say." As if your words are going to convert anyone. My dear friend, what ought our prayer should be is, Lord, that you'd open up their heart. God, that you'd turn the light on their soul and illumine their darkened soul. That should be our prayer. He may use you to do that. I pray that he does, but oh, salvation is of the Lord, Jonah said. That brings us to this last question. What is this knowledge? What is this understanding? Well, the first thing is, as the Holy Spirit enables us to see and understand, the first thing is the fact concerning Christ Himself. You understand this morning that the world is not interested in Jesus. You understand this morning that if they do explain him away as just a mere man. But it is only those who have the spiritual understanding that know him to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And indeed, us as Christians not only know things about Jesus, we know him. We know him. John says, "And the same is true of God the Father. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know him." That is true. That is God the Father. Again, we not only know things about God, we know God. That is what John is emphasizing. Listen, the Jews knew about God. Even the Muslims know certain things about God. But we as believers know him. That is true. We know him as Father. We are in this relationship to God. We have the knowledge of him that enables us to cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." And this makes our prayers absolutely possible. But we not only know God, but We know also that we are in God. And only, and not only we are in God, but in His Son Jesus Christ also. And that He has come and He has given us life. Go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John 1, 1 says, that which was from the beginning, speaking of the Lord Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Listen, for by giving us the Holy Spirit, He has not only given us the faculty and understanding and the knowledge, but He has also given us life itself. We were dead, but He's given us life. We are in Christ and in God, and God and Christ are in us. If you read chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, you will find that there are some of the greatest promises our Lord gave. He said to those people, I will tell you more. I would tell you more, but you cannot bear it now. But after I have gone, I will send the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you into all truth, and He will remind you of the things I have spoken unto you. Not only that, He will come and dwell in you, and He will be with you, and the Father will come, and the Father and I will make our abode with you, you and us, and we in you. My dear friend, let me tell you something. Those are the essential things we are promised, so that even in this world, we are given this understanding by the Holy Spirit. You ask Christian people. You ask believers. And listen, we are not fooled. We're not fooled by the world and its gaudy prizes. We are not for a moment misled by its supposed happiness, which we know is absolutely artificial. We have been given an understanding, and we know something about the nature of sin in us and the nature of sin in the world around us. We have been given a knowledge of God and a relationship with Him. We have been given a knowledge concerning Christ as our Redeemer and Savior. We have been given life by Him so that we are in fellowship with God. We see the truth in contrast to the evil. We are aware of that which is eternal, contradistinction to those things which are temporal. And being in God, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, we have a power, we have a might, we have a strength that are more than enough to conquer Satan. So that we can look at the world with all of its evil without any fear. We know that the Son of God has come and has given to us an understanding. This is the true God and eternal life. And having Him and knowing Him, we need never, ever to fear. Oh, listen, thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that which happened on the day of Pentecost, when God sent the promised Holy Spirit to indwell men and women. And the great question is this morning is this: do you have this understanding? Do you have this knowledge? Are you clear about your life in the world, in this world, and of the victory that is possible to you? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, listen, if you have, you have nothing to do but to praise God and to yield yourself increasingly to Him and to ask Him that you may be filled with His Spirit more and more. But if not, if you don't have this understanding, if you don't have this knowledge, I repeat to you the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He said this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And all we have to do is but ask. And all we have to do is but knock, and we shall receive. You see, my dear friend, it is God's desire that we receive this gift. And therefore, if we feel a lack of understanding, if we feel that we have a lack of power, a lack of joy and happiness and the peace and the abounding life that the Holy Ghost gives us, we have but to go to God in simplicity. We have but to confess our need and confess our lack and ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's a great thing. He has pledged to answer and to give us the gift. And having received the Holy Spirit, we shall have this understanding and begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Oh, the gift of understanding. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. How about you this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you have this knowledge, this understanding that only He and He alone can give? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so very much for Your Word. Lord, thank You for this precious gift of the Spirit that He has brought to us, this precious gift of understanding. None of us have deserved it, nor have we earned it, but by Your grace and Your grace alone, You have illuminated our hearts to the full understanding of who Your Son, Jesus, truly is. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's anybody here, Lord, they understand that they lack this understanding. They lack this knowledge. Father, I pray that they would ask upon You for the gift of this understanding. Oh, Father, I pray that we as Christians, those of us who have come to this knowledge, Lord, that we would take this thing and praise You all the days of our life. That, Lord, that we would be better used by You and for You. Father, I pray that You would draw the sinner to Your Son Jesus today. That they might have this understanding. Break us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand quietly and reverently, every head bowed and every eye closed. How about you this morning? Do you know the Lord? Do you have this understanding? Maybe somebody here this morning knows that they're born again, but you, as I do, have lost family members, lost friends that are not going to be saved by the words that we share. They're not going to be converted by human reasoning, but only converted by the Lord opening their heart. Maybe you just need to pray for divine enlightenment for that person. Talk with me. You just come to me. Raise your hand and I'll come to you.